Okay, you are joined for episode Fail 66 by the one, the only Fail Bookie.
Yo, yo, yo.
Oh, man, we're in the thick of it. Knute, catch us up to where we are in the rookie mock rookie draft. No mocks anymore. We are drafting for real this time. Where are we in the rookie draft?
Yes, you bet. No, we are currently rounding out our 21 of waiting for pick 110. We were actually, I'll be honest, I think we outpaced where I thought we were going to be going up into 110. And then some things, which we'll talk about shortly, happened that now led to Jonathan kind of being stuck. And I know this isn't the longest we've waited for a pick, but it's getting close.
We've been on this, like you said, for 21 hours now. We will get a pick tonight. No, I don't think we're even guaranteed a pick tonight if he trades it. And right. The person who trades for it, I think it was established that the 24-hour clock resets.
It's going to be a long process.
So, and how we got here was, okay, we had gone through picks 1, 2, and 3 with myself, Kmish, Ben, and Bort. You took Stroud at 4. Walk me through, was that the easiest pick that you could have envisioned there? Were you considering others?
I mean, yes, I talked a big game about some of the other ones through the process, but realistically, I had to get a quarterback. I mean, I do not have a week 1 starter in the NFL, and you cannot do well in this league without 2 quarterbacks, let alone without 1. So to have what was the consensus 3 and a lot of folks, number 2 quarterback, outstanding, take it 6 ways to Sunday. So I think that maybe there could have been some fuzz if 1 through 3 had changed, but I think those, we felt pretty confident in maybe not the order between them,
right,
who those players were since early May. So
yeah,
I think generally speaking, Stroud going into the offense that he's going into, especially with rumors that he's going to be adding some serious weapons, I feel really good about that.
Mm-hmm. The one question mark we had about the quarterbacks going into it was, what was Anthony Richardson's draft capital going to be? We knew Stroud was going to be top 5. I mean, essentially, it was like, okay, Stroud's going, Bryce Young is going, but where is Anthony going? He went 4. They went 1, 2, and 4 collectively. So that pretty much cemented the first 4 picks in the rookie draft, with Bijan Robinson being the only non-quarterback. So I think that's a home run pick for you. You get a day 1 starter. He has no competition in Houston, Texas.
Right. Yeah. I think that
he has no competition. Sorry, Davis Mills.
Right. Like, and I mean, I saw on Twitter this morning that he's already taking over 90% of the first team reps. And I thought to myself, like, okay. I mean,
that
you don't invest that kind of draft capital to let a player sit. I mean, especially knowing that they traded up, you know, to get 3 as well, or they traded up to get 1. Either way, they were in, the Texans were 2 and 3. This is their guy. And, you know, the Texans GM, and maybe he's saying it just to build confidence, great, but him coming out directly and saying, I would have taken Stroud over Young, there you go. I mean, he's saying all the right things to make you think they believe in this guy. And that's all I want.
Yeah, so I love the pick for you. I went JSN at 105. I was waffling on the podcast. Genuinely, I was. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought I can afford to have a rookie wide receiver. I'm not trying to contend this year. I'm trying to not get last. That's what I'm trying to do this year, is trying to not get last. I'm not necessarily trying to be like get a day 1 immediate impact starter, which is why I traded out of 101. I was like, for what Bijan is going to be this year, it's not going to benefit my team whatsoever in the grand scheme of things. It's not going to push me over into being a contender. It's simply not going to.
Right. And I think, you know, you made the move, and there's not picking that. You made the move that Mark didn't last year. You know, and we had some of these conversations.
Could he have gone?
Yeah. I think he could have traded 101 to a team that thought Breece would have put them over the edge. And I'd have to go back and look. I don't know who the multiple first teams were last year.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just know
there were some.
Right. And I offered 102 and 114 and some seconds. So I mean, could that have turned
it could have been possible.
Around? Right. But then in all likelihood, he probably drafts Matt Corral like I do in the late first. It's like, you know?
Yeah.
So I think you trading out makes perfect sense. You're going to get a wide receiver who's going to be on your team until the day he retires or until the day you trade him away. So,
right.
And he's probably going to be a starter for maybe not this year, but after that,
the next good 5 years.
Right.
6 years. If he's good, like if he hits, right. He'll probably be good for 6 years. But if he doesn't hit, okay, then it's a different story. But that left Matt with him drafting Jahmyr Gibbs at 106, three Detroit Lion offensive players on his roster.
Hey, and I love it. And I think he's got a good three to have. I mean, Matt's doing the rebuild right. I'll be honest, I'm one of the guys, we picked on Matt. And
totally.
he doesn't trade. But when he does, he gets good value. And boy, howdy, he's building a roster. It's going to take some time, but he has waited on Jordan Love, you know, and Justin Fields. If Justin Fields can play a 16-game season what we saw his better, he could be a top 10 quarterback this year.
Absolutely.
And Jordan Love, all he has to do, if nothing else, is play a whole season, and he can be a top 15.
For sure.
You know, I mean, there's
– I could see it. Yeah. Back-end quarterback one or two quarterback – a mid quarterback one in Justin Fields and an early quarterback two or late quarterback one in Jordan Love. Right. Sign me up. That's what I'm hoping for with my two quarterbacks anyway. So it's like, I don't care in what form they come. Give me the points. I want that at the end of the day. So Matt, absolutely. With this pick, Jahmyr Gibbs impact, like gonna get touches. He was the 12th pick in the NFL draft.
I think he was
the second position player taken off the board. There wasn't a tight end taken off the board, and there wasn't a wide receiver taken off the board before Jahmyr Gibbs.
Right. The other big thing with Gibbs that I want to point out, Matt only has the two running backs in Tampa Bay right now.
Rashad White and Vaughn.
And Edmonds.
Oh, Chase is there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I hadn't
so
kept
those
up
are his only two running backs. He needed a running back, and I think this was a slam dunk pick for him. I mean, he's my only team that I think taking a skill position player over a quarterback, you know, not that Stroud falls there, but if Stroud falls five, I still think he takes Gibbs. Gibbs, perfect team for perfect match. No, Matt got a home run here. And despite only having one pick so far, I mean, this is going to be the one that we'll talk about. Gibbs is going to be a day one starter running back that we're going to get excited about. And I mean, it's just a really simple formula of an offense that knows how to run the ball but doesn't become over-reliant on a single back.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those few instances where Gibbs will benefit from his RBBC rather than be hindered by it.
For sure. So here's Matt's, with even just with Gibbs, not counting the second round pick, 2 seconds that he has this year yet. Justin Fields, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Chig Okonkwo, tight end for Tennessee, Christian Watson, Jameson Williams, Hunter Renfrow, Jordan Love, Daniel Bellinger. Bellinger's not great, so he has a hole. He has a few holes in his lineup, but oh my goodness, from a year ago, 2 years ago,
right? You know, and I think
Matt, if he does the right things,
makes the right moves, this guy could screw around and make the playoffs
for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. That's awesome for him. I mean, last year we got to remember he was only two games out with the team that he had, so there is no reason he can't do it this year. And good for him. I hope he does. I hope he does.
Matt,
awesome.
Matt, I am rooting for you. You are one of the teams this year.
Yes. Yes.
You're my early season pick for team to root for. Texas Dan at 107. Seemingly like Texas Dan every year pick 107, 108. But then he always has a later first that he's traded for somehow.
Yep.
So he at 107 gets the consensus pick here at this spot.
Yeah.
No one else would have gone here.
No. I spoke a lot about Addison. Obviously, I love the guy. You know, I could see an argument if you're a team that wants the points now to take him over JSN in certain settings and certain teams.
Definitely.
I love him. Now, I did have to remind myself, because you guys brought this up on the pod too, when it came to 104, if he was wearing any other jersey, would I love him near this much? And my answer was no. Like I just said, if I dropped him in Tampa Bay, for example, just a team, Atlanta, you name it. Would I love him this much? Not even close.
Carolina.
Right. So once I set that aside, I mean, I still think he's going to be a phenomenal wide receiver. He is a tiny bit undersized, but he's fast and he's going to do really well. He will be a wide receiver two this year, and we're going to look back on this and say that was a great pick at 107.
I agree. Especially the way Dan's roster is constructed, a lot of sneaky wide receivers on his roster.
I agree.
Lots of sneaky wide receivers. I like his wide receiver room. It's Mike Williams, George Pickens now with Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson. I'll count him as a receiver. He's a top tight end in my opinion moving forward. I like the way Texas Dan's team is looking, except for quarterback. He does have 113, and we'll get to 113 in a little bit about what we think could possibly happen there. But he takes Addison at 7. That leaves Mark's first pick, 108. Hint, hint. Mark's first pick, 108. He takes Quentin Johnston.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what to make of it, to be honest. And so I'd love to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I think, you know, on the one hand, he is an incredibly talented, massive human being who has the physical skills to make some incredible catches. There's no doubt about it. And he is in the most high passing volume offense in the NFL.
Correct.
You know, there probably won't be a team for the next at least 3 years that are going to throw more passes than the Los Angeles Chargers.
No.
And they just added that their new offensive coordinator is the guy who came from Dallas last year, who I think had the second or third most pass attempts in the entire league.
So
they're not
going to. If that's any indication, they're going to throw the ball a shit ton.
Absolutely. Now, they have 1.5-ish combined Pro Bowler wide receivers already,
right?
Depending on how you know, what kind of year they have.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of depth already there. You know, Palmer
not to mention Austin Eckler.
Yes. Yes.
Like, you know, who caught, I swear he catches 90 footballs a year.
Yeah. So this is a great example of size of the pie versus share of the pie.
Right.
And every team is going to have different breakdowns of this. You know, the Cup team that won the Super Bowl, Cooper, that wasn't the biggest pie. It wasn't even the top half pie in the NFL, but he had 65% of the pie, so it didn't matter. And I think the exact opposite here. This is going to be the biggest pie in the NFL. It's going to be a small share. In Mark's defense, why I think this is a great pick for him, whether or not at 108, who knows? But the reason I think I really like this pick for him is he can wait. What's Mark going to do this year? You know, maybe he really surprises us and something works out great, but he's got time, and that time could definitely be used for a Mike Williams new contract, moving on to a new team, and potentially a Keenan Allen retirement in the next two years.
Yeah.
If those 1-2 happen, guess what? Now target availability. You know, we talk about vacated targets a lot. One of my big reasons for liking Addison over a QJ, but there's potential there. It's just not going to happen in year one. And that's okay. You know, we have to remind ourselves about some of these first year wide receivers. I think we've broken ourselves the last 3 years with rookie wide receivers. And we have to remind ourselves that they're still rookies.
Yeah. There are plenty of Sky Moore and Treylon Burks out there. Trust me.
Right.
there are plenty of them who are at best okay in their rookie year. So we'll see. I mean, Austin Eckler, 107 catches last year. 107.
Yeah, so, there's no reason to slow down.
And he's back.
Yep.
Let's say there's some regression. Fine. He catches 80 footballs instead. Oh, boo-hoo, your running back has 80 catches near the third wide receiver in the depth chart. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But hey, exactly. I wouldn't have liked a different player more. I like them all equally at that point. 108, because it would have been Zay Flowers as a consideration there. He takes, just according to ADP, the best wide receiver, best player at that spot. I like it a lot, especially when like you said, he has to wait. He doesn't have any picks.
And I think too,
he has other people's picks, but that's about it.
Right. I would have probably taken QJ at 109. I don't know that for sure yet, because I was shopping 109 hard at that point, but
yeah,
I would say it was fairly likely that I would move it. So kind of knowing that, and I think Mark probably put that together, why not take a guy that's probably gone at the next pick anyway, and then make me just that much more inclined to sell.
Yeah. Which That's exactly what happened. Did he reach out to you once he had 108 lined up, or had you guys been chatting even when he was on the clock and unsure?
So to give a very brief synopsis without going too much, he really wanted to take both 109 and 111 while keeping 108. I mean, he wanted to come up with a strategy to have three firsts this year. And I mean, good for him to want to do that.
Right.
And we talked about lots of different options, moving seconds around, 24 first, 25 first. I mean, we sent lots of offers back and forth. And honestly, Mark was really, really good to work with here. I mean, definitely most of the best offers I've had this year. And on top of that, this has been a crazy year for trade offers. I mean, we have a lot of invested owners who are making a lot of offers. Are all of them great? No, absolutely not. But that's why we play this game. Exactly. Because we don't know, see the same way. So, no, and I think what it finally came down to towards the end was he keyed in on someone at 109. And we'll get into it a little bit later, but it was not who I thought he had keyed in on.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked under the assumption he was going to take a specific player. Thought, hey, no problem. I'm going to let him have it. I don't really want that particular player at this specific draft spot. And he ended up offering two firsts and 2 seconds for 109 and 202. One of them in 2024, and then one of his in 2025. And I couldn't pass that up when his final offer came. And we'd been kind of arguing about which seconds and thirds and going back and forth, but that was what we ultimately settled on. And I felt good about it, and I hope he feels good about it too. So.
Yeah, that is a hell of a trade. You get not only a first next year to compensate for the 109 this year, but you get an additional first in 2025, and then you're just doing a pick swap, 202 for his 2025 second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For an extra first?
Right. And I mean,
just deferred?
My roster issues are not a secret to anyone. And I had said on a previous pod, I had to go down two. There's my two. So now, except for my fourth, I can roster all my picks now.
Great.
And that's where I wanted to be. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited. This couldn't have worked out. I went into this draft thinking I was going to trade 109 and or 111.
Yeah.
And I did. And are those exactly the assets I thought I was going to get? No. But, hey, they're better than the assets I thought I was going to get. So I'm happy with it.
Interesting. So they weren't what you thought, but they were better than what you thought you would get from a value perspective?
Yeah, realistically, I kind of hope that one of those...
Because you probably wouldn't have gotten a player worth that you had in your mind worth 2 seconds.
No. My plan was to try and find either a high-risk, aged rookie, or an aged veteran. Excuse me, an aged veteran.
Muhammad Ibrahim, he is an aged rookie.
He is.
High-risk.
Hey, that's my 404 right there.
Hey, don't talk about him like that.
Hey, if he falls to me in the fourth, I'm taking him.
Bang!
In the home.
There it is, 404 on the books. Can't take him before then.
True. I might take him at 401 just simply to make him feel better. I want to raise his ADP.
There you go.
But, I kind of thought I would look for a veteran QB, but one didn't really materialize that was worth it, and I didn't want to probably overpay for a 1 or 2 year rental. And there's some guys out there, some owners that were willing, but, you know, you send a late first in 2023 for a James Garoppolo or a Ryan Tannehill? Probably not. That doesn't feel great. So,
no, that doesn't feel, especially for Jimmy G and his medical issues now. Apparently he's not even going to play.
Exactly. So I think that, you know, those owners are being reasonable. They know how much QBs are worth in this league. And they know my situation, obviously, but I just wasn't prepared to spend that for those assets. And
yeah,
to get those future firsts, great. They'll work out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an investment for sure, but with the state of the league being what it is and the makeup of rosters, there are five teams easily that I could think that I could think of that are championship contenders.
Right.
Pretty easily. Yeah. Probably five for sure. Four or five.
I think we both agree.
Teams like you and I have time. So it's like, for me, I'm trying to remind myself that I don't necessarily have to say no to value if it's value in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think I can tell myself no on 2025 assets if they're coming my way. So that left Mark now with 108, Quentin Johnston, and 109. And he takes Dalton Kincaid, tight end, for the Buffalo Josh Allens.
The zag of all zags. I mean, honestly, probably the BPA in that spot. But that was, if you'd have
been. No, he was not.
You know, depending on your perspective.
Yeah, I suppose.
Look at Matt's tight ends. Excuse me. Look at Mark's tight ends.
Who does he have?
He has Dan Arnold, Irv Smith Jr., and Adam Trautman.
Okay, yeah, he needs tight end.
I mean, in a tight end premium league, if he's going to get at least on paper, starting tight end in probably the third or fourth most pass-heavy offense in the entire league.
Yeah.
Great. There you go. And allegedly, according to all the reports, Josh Allen's going to be more restricted on running this year. So he's supposed to have more dumps.
You know, I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm right there with you. But at least in coach speak,
yeah, he's
supposed to be having more short yardage dumps. And that's why a lot of people think James Cook's stock is going to rise and why, you know, a Dalvin could make sense in Buffalo. There's a lot of different variables there. But generally speaking.
You get a piece of the pie in an offense like that.
I mean, I get it.
Why not?
It is not at all what I would have thought.
No.
I'll be honest. I was absolutely convinced Mark was going to take a quarterback.
Same.
I mean,
same.
Just completely convinced that was the only thing on the table. So to see anything but a quarterback, first of all, shocking. And then second of all, to see tight end here, knowing that he has the picks that he already does. I mean, Pete, don't you think that?
Wouldn't there would have been a tight end at 202? I would have imagined that he liked at that spot, but maybe not. I don't know. He took the best tight end, which, hey, I'm also so that's where I'm in. That's where I'm not necessarily. I kind of like the move for Mark. Like, I don't necessarily like know if I would have done that, but for him, I'm thinking, hey, best player at this position. Sure. I want him. I did that for me. I thought Bryce Young was the best player at his position and I knew I could get him at 103. So I was like, all right, I'm going to take the best position quarterback for me at 3 and I'm going to take the best position wide receiver at 5. And for Mark, he at 9 was like, hey, best tight ends on the board. I kind of want him, especially in a league that values high tight end production. Even if Kincaid has a 20% shot at becoming a Travis Kelce type, at least it's 20% because of Josh Allen, most likely.
Right.
So it's why the heck not?
I agree with you. I would not have taken, I mean, I have 109.
I wouldn't have, but.
And there is, I would not have taken a tight end at 109, even this tight end. And I wouldn't have taken a tight end at 111.
But, yeah.
Good for him. And if he likes it, that's I will tell you, my brother has started listening to this podcast while he bikes because he told me it's just interesting enough to continue his bike ride, but not interesting enough that he's distracted in his bike ride. And he told me point blank, because he's only listened to about 7 or 8 episodes, which is still an absurd amount of listening.
That is.
For a league you're not in. He told me, you guys give Mark a lot of airtime. And I said, yeah, I guess we do, but.
He's a fun guy to talk about.
He is. He's just in such an interesting situation, and he makes such interesting moves. And I know he's aggressive, and I know he's not done trying, and I give him credit for that.
And so now that leaves the league at 110, and we have officially eclipsed the 3-hour mark. We are under 3 hours until Kamish is forced to make a decision.
And if you were a betting man right now, what do you think he does?
He trades it.
I think so too.
I think that's what he is absolutely trying to do.
And you just think there aren't any takers, or what do you think the issue is?
I think people realize that he doesn't like necessarily what's there at 110, and neither do they for what he's trying to get.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think a lot of us in this league have very similar feelings about Zay Flowers. You know, he's a good wide receiver, and he's got the chances to be good. He's on an offense that doesn't like to pass the ball a lot. And Bateman's coming back from an injury, a wide receiver that a lot of us were really high on. Not that long ago. Mark Andrews, you know, is still there. Isaiah Likely is still there, and allegedly they're going to run a lot of 2 tight end sets.
Odell Beckham is there for a year.
So, Flowers probably still a first rounder. I just don't know who to
you think be. So?
I don't. I mean,
I'm not so sure anymore.
There's five picks left in the first round. It's hard to believe that nobody is willing to take Flowers.
I think Kincaid going at 109 is really going to shake up some potential tight end moves.
Okay. Maybe.
I'm not saying there's a run on tight ends coming up, but it wouldn't. I'm not ruling that out of the equation. Instead of a fourth ranked wide receiver in Flowers in a destination that, like you said, doesn't pass the ball a ton.
Okay. So,
because I mean, okay, let's speculate. You're not a Flowers fan, but you're probably not a tight end fan at 111.
No, you're right. So I'm probably going running back. Realistically, I don't know which one.
Sure. Yet.
We'll see who speaks to me at that moment, but
right.
Then you at 12, I'm assuming you're also going running back.
I mean, it's either 12 or I don't know.
I think it's fair to say that between 12 and 14, you will.
There's a running back being taken or acquired for one of those, for those picks.
Right.
Type of
right.
scenario.
Right. And I think that's a good way to look at it. And
Texas, because, well, here, but yeah, so it's, I'm not going to give away all of my thought process, but it's hard not to, because we're so close. I feel like I'll be able to pick tonight, but I don't know.
Right. I don't know. It's, we'll see, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
my big question is, what can be solved in the next 3 hours that wasn't solved in the last 21?
I don't know. That's a good, great question.
I have a hard time believing something is going to materialize in the next 3 hours that wasn't already offered, unless he's really holding out thinking there's going to be increasing appetite. But from what I noticed from
I think it wouldn't surprise me if that was his thought process.
What I've noticed from my two, because I'm obviously sandwiching his pick, it seems to be that there's decreasing appetite.
Correct.
I mean, I just know I have three owners that before the draft were fairly interested in 109 and/or 111 that did not have picks in the first two rounds.
Right.
Okay. I have definitely seen their interest start to decline, you know, as this has gone on. And that's okay. You know, I mean, everybody's got their guys, and if their guys go, and maybe Kincaid was that guy for all three owners. I don't know.
It might have been.
But and then continuing kind of down the line at 113, Texas Dan is a wild card. I think it's equally likely he takes Michael Meyer, Will Levis, Zay Flowers, or the BPA running back. And I think all four of those options have almost exactly a 25% chance.
What if the BPA running back is Zach Charbonnet and he gets Zach Charbonnet and Ken Walker? Does he want that or does he not want that?
You know, it's hard to have both halves of a whole, but they're different enough players. Would you not have wanted DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams on your roster last year?
That's a good question. Going into the season, I probably wouldn't have hated it.
You know, would you not have wanted both prime Latavius Murray and Alvin Kamara? You know, that like 2017, 2018 year when they were both good at the same time?
I think that was Mark Ingram, but I know what you're saying. Yeah,
sorry.
That's another good comparison.
You know, I just think about these teams that can manage because they use them for such different things, and your bigger man can score enough touchdowns to keep himself viable.
Sure.
That's a big if. That works. And those are two in Pete Carroll's running offense.
Yeah.
That could do it.
Yeah.
I would rather have both halves than one half. I will say that.
Okay.
Because one of them is going to get hurt this year.
Sure.
That is a run heavy enough that they will touch the balls enough time. Somebody's getting hurt this year.
Probably.
4 to 6 games where half of them are out. The other one is going to be a top five running back in the league for those 5 or 6 games.
Yeah.
I don't know which one that's going to be, but I just think it makes a lot of sense to have both halves of that because it's both, in a way, it's a cup in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
But it's also a compliment.
But then you're using two starting lineup spots to complete ideally one role. But he doesn't, because Charbonnet went there, he doesn't have the full Seattle backfield. I don't know what other running backs he has, but I don't think he has many others that are full starters on their team. No second option. But yeah, it's a compelling argument for for sharing a backfield, though, especially those examples. I mean, I know they're anecdotes, but because typically it's, you don't want to have two halves of a backfield. But you make a compelling argument.
I think too, the other thing, Charbonnet.
Because for me, I'm heavily, I mean, I'll say it. I'm heavily considering Charbonnet at 12. If he's there and he's not the pick at 11 or whatever, or if, yeah, if he's there at 12, which I'm foreseeing, it's either him or somebody else.
Mm-hmm. The other thing with Charbonnet that we just can't allow ourselves to forget is he is the quintessential running back build physically, in just the structure of way his body looks and the way he runs. He is such a traditional NFL running back.
Yeah.
Again, on the anecdotes, and this is not a good way to necessarily make fantasy decisions, but Pete Carroll drafted in the first round Rashad Penny. And the next year, while still Penny was healthy, before Penny's, you know, injury history, he takes an undrafted or very late drafted Chris Carson and supplants him as the starter. And we all, I mean, Chris Carson's name became a memorable name for the three seasons he was the starter, and Penny faded in nothing. Ken Walker is too talented to fade in that same way. But there is no reason to think that within 2 years, we're looking back and saying, oh, well, Charb was actually the leader in the clubhouse there.
Hmm.
You know, Charbonnet was my running back two going into this draft for a reason. Go watch any of his games at UCLA or at Michigan. He was the most electric running back in college football. He had the greatest ability to change the game. Bijan Robinson was strong, and he could move a linebacker. But Charbonnet, chef's kiss. He is just a really, really good running back. He went to his worst imaginable. I mean, I don't know what would have been worse for him, honestly. But the only upside is he and Kenneth Walker are very different backs. Mm. And only time will tell how that will work.
And then the rumors of, in my eyes, the rumors of Dalvin to Miami sort of tanks A-Chain's stock to me.
Yeah,
like even just rumors of, even if they don't trade him and they cut him, Miami swooping in for a, I don't know what the contract would be, but clearly there's interest and he's from Miami. So
the other big thing with A-Chain too is, and I'll be honest, I was hot on A-Chain, you know, for a while there. At a time, he was my running back three in this class.
Mm-hmm.
But going back with a little more in-depth research, kind of when I thought there'd be a really good chance he'd be available for me in 11 or in the early second, he's very small. Like,
yeah,
he's the smallest primary running back in this class.
Yeah.
He's okay, for reference, he's 51 pounds lighter than Charbonnet. That's a lot. I mean, if nothing else.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Charbonnet's going to be able to size up against most linebackers. H is not even close.
Right.
A-Chain's not even as big as some of the cornerbacks in this league.
No.
So there's just the size element. Now, allegedly, he's put on a lot of weight in camp, which is good for him. But often that first 20 pounds isn't always the best first mm-hmm. 20 either. I mean, we've mm-hmm. all gone through that in our lives. But my other big concern there, too, is he played on one of the worst offenses in America, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And for those who have been watching the last 2 years at Texas A&M, Jimbo has not had a choice but to run the ball. And volume doesn't always mean that they're that great. I mean, there's going to be a running back named Sean Tucker that somebody's going to take late coming out of Syracuse. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal runner. Mm-hmm. Super cool. Undrafted mm-hmm. free agent in Tampa Bay. A fun story. Broke tons of records.
Mm-hmm.
But that was because it was a run-heavy offense
right.
at a school that couldn't throw the ball.
Yeah.
Frankly, keeping it local, a guy I love dearly.
Mo. Yep. Same thing.
Yeah. And there's going to be a lot of similarities there. And these NFL GMs invest what they invest in the NFL draft for a reason. They get mm-hmm. paid millions of dollars a year to look at these guys and say, are they going to work? And they don't care about points the way we do, but they care about success, and they know. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, the other really interesting thing with Kendra Miller, probably the other running back somewhat in this tier.
Yep.
What if Kamara doesn't get suspended?
Yeah.
He's worthless.
The thing with Kendre is he's 20 years old.
Right.
He turns 21 this month. So he is a full year younger than Charbonnet, and he's practically 6 months younger than 6 to 8 months younger than A-Chain. So granted, not a huge deal, but with back end rookies, I'm like, hey, if they're both dart throws, give me the younger one.
Agreed.
It's a pro in Kendre's favor. But the situation, if Kamara, like you said, doesn't get suspended, it's Kamara and Jamal Williams, and Kendre's sitting on the bench.
I think my big thing with running backs in the NFL is one, I keep beating this horse. The days of a solo running back are gone. We're watching that breed die. It is going to be, you're going to get a year. Damian Pierce last year is a great example. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen where everybody else is either really bad or gets hurt. So by attrition, you become a solo RB. And that's going to happen sometimes because it's a very contact.
Any running back who would get all the carries would get 1,000 yards.
Yes.
Any.
But right.
Alexander Mattison, if he got 300 carries a year, would get 1,000 yards.
You'd hope so. Otherwise, he wouldn't have that job if he couldn't average 3 yards a carry.
But maybe he doesn't, so he's part of an RBVC in the first place. Who knows?
Agreed. So it's going to be, I think what we're going to start to see is a greater importance on reception because mm-hmm. we're a PPR league and touchdown.
Yeah.
And we're getting there. So on that point, if you look at these three, A-Chain, Charbonnet, Miller, mm-hmm. the next tier-ish of running back, who is going to score the most touchdowns by a lot?
Charbonnet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so he's the pick at 11. So that leaves me with A-Chain, Miller, or Zay Flowers at – no, because Zay's probably going 10.
Maybe. I don't know.
But yeah, those three running backs, it is seemingly clear that Charbonnet is the best option if you're not hooked on either of them
or on any of them. There's a chance Kamish in one of his picks also goes Levis, even if he doesn't like the guy.
True.
Because like it or not, he only has, they're two great quarterbacks. So I don't want to downplay that. He's got Richardson and he's got Daniel Jones, two guys that are bona fide starters on any roster.
Yep.
But he's only got two.
Mm-hmm.
And if our league has shown anything, you got to have three.
You need three.
So maybe, I don't know if he does that at 110 or.
At 110?
Maybe more at 201. But
if he's there.
Are you taking Levis?
I'm not taking Levis. I might.
Okay.
Levis at 14. I'm like, if he's there at 14, they're going to give him a shot next year, and I don't need him this year.
Right. Yeah.
That's my thought. If I'm going to take him, that's the rationale I have for it.
I don't hate it.
But Texas Dan, in the same breath, Texas Dan's quarterbacks are Mac Jones, Carson Wentz, and Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz is a free agent. Mm-hmm. Zach Wilson is a backup. And Mac Jones is a quarterback too.
Who lost his starting job twice to Bailey Zappi.
Who? Exactly. Bailey Zappi. He was a fifth rounder. And of course, DFT had him rostered.
That's Western Kentucky's finest. That he holds the NCAA record for touchdowns and yards in a single game.
Zappi?
Yeah.
Oh, so he can ball. He's like Brock Purdy.
Yeah, he's Western Kentucky.
Let's go.
Bowling Green's finest.
Come on.
The university, the town. They have statue of him.
Anyway, you know this too.
It's right by Mammoth Cave National Park. A great.
Okay, awesome.
If you're ever going down I-25 in rural Kentucky, would recommend a stop.
Okay.
All right, we digress. But then looking at the early part of the second, I think that's where things get really interesting because
it's Jonathan Mark UU, right? Mm-hmm. One through four. Again. Then Mark again at five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
who are the players in that tier? Because ever since I sold 201, I've been disinterested in the second round. Like
Mark that really wanted it to be 202. I wanted it to be 204. He really mm-hmm. wanted. So it's very apparent to me. He thinks there's a player that I would have taken at 202. And not to get too, you know, armchair psychologist on the man.
Get armchair psych on the bit.
Who could he possibly want that bad? That was potentially the deal
Levis.
Breaker for this trade.
Levis. I think he probably was thinking or considering Levis as the option at 202.
Okay. I mean, I don't hate it.
But again, I would bet he goes before 202.
Yeah.
I would bet that he would go before 202. So there's got to be somebody else too he's considering.
Is it one of the wide receivers? Is it
because Miller will most likely be there at 201. But again, Mark is disinterested in running back, or should be.
Yeah, no, but I don't think Mark takes a running back.
So he's not, but it could be Downs, it could be Michael Mayer, it could be.
I don't know. I look through this list and
Mingo, really, Jonathan, or Rashi Rice.
There's some very, very talented players in here. And I think nobody's doubting that. But my problem with this next group is none of them have a path to target share. Maybe Mingo, if.
I would say Marvin Mims. I would put him in this category in Denver. But again, not this year.
You got Sutton, Judy,
Tim Patrick.
Yes. The tight end whose name I can't think of, a younger guy.
Dulcich.
Yeah, there you go. With the big hair.
Yeah.
But and maybe Russ takes a massive step forward.
I don't see it.
Even if he does, I mean, most of the years from what we've seen from the old Saints offenses, and assuming he's going to bring them all fairly simply.
Right.
It's going to be 1.5 stud wide receivers and then a pretty good drop off.
Uh-huh. You're and right.
A lot of throws to the running back.
Yeah, you're right. And tight end.
Right. So.
Yeah.
Also, any Big 12 wide receiver from the Mims family, I refuse to support in any capacity. So mark my words, the only player you will not see me draft, and even if he falls all the way to 404, the coordinated effort is Marvin Mims.
Okay, good to know.
Maybe let's move a little bit, even away from the blank speculation, something I'm kind of curious about, because you and I both drop off. I mean, I have a few more seconds scattered throughout, but you're kind of...
I'm out until the mid-third.
Right. Where do you think the next run on QBs start going? Because one thing we've definitely noticed every year in the draft is you have your stud quarterbacks. Your guys that are bona fide starters that are going in the top 5 picks. That happens every year. Then you have your late first, early second QBs. These are guys like Desmond Ridder,
Matt
Corral, Sam Howell. Guys that were riskier, but somebody saw something in them, said, okay, I'll take them. Then we got our next batch that usually starts sometime either late second, early third, mid third, late third, of the guys that are like, oh boy, you know, your Bailey Zappi.
Yeah. Let's look at the quarterbacks kind of in that next tier. So the only two quarterbacks that are even remotely close in ADP are Will Levis and Hendon Hooker.
Right.
But even between Hendon and Will Levis, I can't picture Hooker going until 206. At the earliest, that would be a reach.
Yeah, I mean Goff's
he's there for
quarterback. With an extension pending.
So. Right. So, but I mean, you're talking about guys like Stetson Bennett, Aiden O'Connell, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, but like Stetson Bennett is probably the most, I hate to say it, he's probably the most appealing just from a landing spot perspective. There is a question mark about Matthew Stafford's elbow. Like, I'm going to be honest. I hate that I'm hyping Stetson Bennett of all quarterbacks, but I am.
That is so gross.
I know, but think about what Sean McVay can do.
Why couldn't they have drafted literally any of the other? I mean, if they take any of the other rookie QBs,
I'm putting
them in the same.
Brother, I'm with you. Levis. He's 20. I know.
This is so frustrating. I hate Bennett so much. He is just
but you know it's not a bad take.
It's probably the third best landing spot of every quarterback that wasn't going to be a starter. Maybe second
Right.
best.
Because, okay, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I love way more than Stetson Bennett.
But he's
But
behind a four-year,
he went to
fully
Cleveland.
Guaranteed contract. Well,
Deshaun is not going to...
Yeah, unless...
Unfortunately, he's not going anywhere.
Unless
Unless...
the good people of, you know, the Cleveland Police Department can arrest him and incarcerate him for assault charges, then you're not going to see Deshaun go anywhere.
I could be to... There is a quarterback in this tier that I think has a path to starting some games this year. And I know we've been talking about him off air.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's definitely Jaren Hall of these Minnesota Vikings.
Hey, yeah, that would be something if Jaren Hall had a path to starts this year.
Well, actually, I mean, I say it somewhat sarcastically, but if you go back and watch Hall throw the ball,
where did he play?
He played at BYU. And actually,
okay.
He broke. It's funny, you know, Zach Wilson was the first really good BYU QB in a long time. And then Hall came in and broke most of those single season records
Oh,
the
let's
next
go.
year. And Hall is a really fun guy. When the Vikings picked him, I lost my mind. I mean, is he gonna start for us? No.
No.
Nope. But is he leaps and bounds better than Kellen Mond? Absolutely. And
God,
we got him at a
so.
way better value. So
I hope so. But the one quarterback I was going to mention, Aiden O'Connell, Las Vegas Raiders. Jimmy G is hurt, permanently hurt, I think.
Yeah. I
They had to rewrite, apparently they had to rewrite his contract because he showed up and they're like, dude, you need surgery.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he signed a waiver, so they can cut him with nothing. All of his guaranteed money is no longer guaranteed if they can prove medical exemption by two independent doctors. So, which
so
in the NFL, low,
that's
is a low
easy.
Bar.
Yeah, that's easy to do.
Yeah.
So Aiden O'Connell, where was he? Did he play in college at? It was he a
Purdue.
At Purdue? Okay, I was gonna say I knew he was Big Ten, but I don't know where he goes. Like, okay, who has thirds in this draft? Who has late seconds in this draft? You have a
you know
majority
what?
Of the late seconds. You have 213 or 212, 213.
I could definitely see him being a great 301 pick for Brent because he took last year, he took Sam Howell 301 in almost
he's got a
exactly the
starter.
Same, exactly the same situation because Carson Wentz was Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
They had Heinicke.
Mm-hmm.
We were never sure about him.
Right
now, how
they weren't. They were never going to sign Heinicke to a long-term deal.
No,
even if he won that playoff game against Brady in 2020. Even if he did,
which can you imagine? anyway, but I think about that. I think that would be a good spot. You know, that would make a lot of sense. I think there could be an argument that made that it would also make probably even more sense for Mark to take him at 214,
right?
Simply out of a need for QBs.
Yeah,
I am too excited about some of the skill position players. I still think there to fully commit in the late second. But
now if there are developments between now and the middle of the second, and all of a sudden something comes out with, oh, so and so is this, any number of these quarterbacks could be shifting up into the middle second if there's all of a sudden a path to starting for any of them.
Yeah,
that's how needy and desperate and important getting like QB teams are for QBs, and how important QBs are to the success of your team. DFT had to start Brock Purdy last year.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, DFT was brilliant. He would go get these crazy fab bids on these flyer QBs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mr. Irrelevant out
Zappy
of Iowa
too.
State. Zappy
too, or he was a late round pick or something, but. Again,
and
another
frankly,
example.
He went and got Desmond Ridder, a guy I didn't believe in at all, not even a little bit. I took Matt Corral instead. They were both available. Took Matt Corral. Oops. He's got, in those guys, he's got 2.5 starters.
Yeah.
I don't. So good on him. And there's something to be said about risking it. I mean, the QB position is the most important position in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the reason I'm still, you know, rostering Matt Corral and rostering, guys like, you know, Kyle Trask, and we'll see what all those guys become.
But, yeah. So I think probably late second is when there's probably going to be a run on quarterback. I think that gap between upper echelon QBs and dart throws is going to get smaller and smaller. I think there's no reason not to believe that with the amount of turmoil there really is at the position year after year after year, because teams are quicker to pull the leash on a QB if they don't work out.
Right.
They just are.
And I think the other thing that will really change the league too is, and you know, Chris and I have this joking bet about the quarterback share of cap volume.
Yeah. But
generally speaking, on both a historical and more modern basis, if your name is not Patrick Mahomes, you cannot be over 12.5% of the team's cap. I mean, the Browns are going to be bad for a long time because of what they did.
Yeah, 100%.
The Texans are awful this year because Ryan Tannehill is going to be the third or fourth highest cap hit of every single quarterback in the entire league. And now you get into these situations where you backload these contracts, and these quarterbacks, they're smart. They're calling the bluff, saying, you guaranteed me 30 mil. Go ahead. Cut me. I dare you. Or trade me. I dare you. Or restructure me. I dare you. Give me more guaranteed money.
Yeah. And they have him by the throat.
They do. You know, Kirk, as much as I love the guy, he played hard to get with us this year. And he did. He's playing out his money, and we're going to pay the man. Goff is going to do the same thing to the Lions next year.
Yeah.
And
Daniel Jones just did it to the Giants.
Yep.
He just did it. He just did it to him. Mm-hmm. Hooked him for, over $100 million?
Yep. And then Russ is,
Russ, oh my God.
Uh-huh. Derek Carr got it out of New Orleans.
Yep.
So the money. I think on the rookie side, there's some interesting ones. I do think that there's a, I don't know, the ADP, as according to Sleeper, is very interesting to me. I often wonder, you know, what am I missing on some of these guys? I mean, Clayton Tune is really interesting, and I watched him in Houston, and he's got an electric arm, and he can move a lot, but I don't know. Is Kyler in that bad a situation?
I mean, the Cardinals are going to be in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes anyway.
Right.
And so who is Clayton Thune, and why would I want to draft him with a second or even early third round pick if he's never going to be given a shot?
And I think about that too from my Matt Corral experience, was why did I draft, and Sam Ellinger, I fell for him too. Why would I draft these bridge bad QBs knowing those teams are going to draft QBs next year? And frankly, you know, Davis Mills, he knew he wasn't going to be a long-term starter.
Right.
But to a certain extent, if you get 1 year out of him, awesome. Corral got hurt, so he never played, but we'll see. I don't know. Going back to Los Angeles, I don't mean to beat on this, but why can't they trade for I don't know, anybody else? Go trade for Trask, or go trade for, honestly, Trey Lance. Go, I mean, just do something that would be exciting. Go get a bona fide starter that's wasting on another team. Go get James Winston, for God's sake.
Yeah, rather than, Stafford until his elbow actually falls off, and then Stetson Bennett.
Well, maybe they don't want to win. Do they have their first in 24?
I don't think so. I think they traded it to the Lions.
Unbelievable.
I think they did. Let me check. Let me check. I think they did, though.
That's really something.
I mean, they did win a Super Bowl.
Hey, and it.
No, the Rams do own their pick.
Okay, so they're in
the Rams could be posturing to be really bad.
Yeah,
I mean, go get Drake May if you're the second pick instead,
or keep a local boy and Caleb Williams, USC, the Los Angeles Rams. You got a story there.
If they get one overall,
they're probably bad enough.
Or they trade up for it. If it's a team like the Bears again,
I mean, they were what? Weren't they fifth or sixth worst this year?
They were bad this year. They were bad last year. They're going to be bad again this year.
Right. And because the rest of the West should be pretty good. So
Seattle will be good. And
49ers will be great.
Niners will be really good.
Even with Lance. I don't know about Arizona. I
mean, Arizona's going to be horrible.
Right. So.
I mean, yeah, I have. I am not I have 309. So I'm sure I could take a quarterback, but they'd be horrible. They'd be a horrible decision at that pick because none of them are going to be there then. They're all going to be taken in the early third, I think. Yeah. If I'm speculating.
Yeah. Why don't you trade up and come get 212 or 213 and I'll make all your dreams come true.
Hey, we can do a 209 if there's a player there, I'll do 209 and I won't even be a quarterback.
Okay. Sounds good. We could probably make that work. So.
Okay.
That's great. That's been my big thing with a lot of these different owners is like we'll have conversations and I'll basically be, oh, well, what do you think? And it's always, well, let's see what happens when we draft there. And which makes sense, you know, why right. trade for a pick that might not be able to get the guy you want.
Right.
But I do think about that too. You know, to a certain extent, you just get the pick so that you're better positioned to trade up if you think you have to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see. I think what I can say with great confidence is the trades are not done.
No. They're just getting started.
Do you think this is the year with the most draft trades?
That's a good question.
Because I think the previous record was what, one? Other than if you don't count the fourth and fifth for Fab trades, I don't count.
Oh, them. Sure, sure. But like pick for pick?
Pick or for, yeah, either.
Or pick player for pick.
Right.
I bet we beat it. I mean, I'm getting interest for 12 and 14, but again, I'm sure Kamish was getting interest for 10 until certain players weren't there anymore. So it'll be, I'm sure, a similar situation with me when I'm actually on the clock. Lord willing, it's tonight. I'd love to pass it off to Texas Dan, yeah, knowing I that think I'd love to pass it off to him.
11 but and 12 can be fast, but I don't know about anything else.
13. I mean, I'll say it. It won't be. Yep. But hey, that'll be a Sunday issue, and then I'll be back up on Sunday, and we'll get it going into the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Right. So no.
Okay.
I love it.
All right. Fail Bookie, as always. Thank you for joining.
Hey, thanks, Pete.
This was beautiful. All right. If you listened this long,
this is a tough decision for you.
What should we have them do?
Have them put a number on your post, like emoji reactions of a number of what their favorite pick has been so far.
Yeah.
So if like Mark's pick at 8 was their favorite, put the 8 numeric, because we're only 1 through 9 time of this podcast, so they'll be able to just use a single numeric.
Mm-hmm.
And have them vote with that number.
Yep, on the podcast link in the channel.
I love it.
All right. You heard it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.